Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Methamphetamine or meth is a dangerous stimulant that can cause long-term damaging effects. In 2006, the National Congress of American Indians put out a report on meth in Indian country that said the drug is devastating Native American communities. According to the research, meth use in the U.S. is down nationwide. But is that the case for Native America? How are communities affected by meth? That's what's next, right after the news. Stay with us.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Some members of the Native American community in Rapid City, South Dakota, are upset and worried about future incidents involving Native Americans in the city. This after a judge acquitted a man on a disorderly conduct charge involving Native children at a hockey game.
My disappointment and my anger and my hurt was for the family members of the children.
Karen Eagle is a member of the group Native Lives Matter. She witnessed the trial and is not surprised at the outcome. Eagle says some people were hopeful, but others were more cynical, saying there was not enough evidence presented by the prosecution. More from Eagle, but first, South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports on the outcome of the trial.
Trace O'Connell was accused of making racist statements and pouring beer on the heads of some children from American Horse School on the Pine Ridge Reservation who were attending a Rapid City Rush hockey game. Mike Butler served as O'Connell's defense attorney. He says he and his client are obviously relieved by the verdict.
It was not unexpected based on the evidence the city presented, but this is not to say he's entirely pleased. He has been subject to a considerable amount of public ridicule. He has been falsely maligned. He's been through quite a lot, accused of being a racist, a child abuser, and on it goes.
Native Americans in Rapid City say O'Connell's acquittal is one more example of how Lakota children don't matter. Mayor Steve Allender says the city is preparing for further reaction.
You know, what I'm hoping for is calm and cool heads, because now is the time for the people to take this matter into their hands and see what can be done about race relations and about working together. This is, you know, no protest, no picket line will create justice that will make people happy.
Allender, who recently retired as Rapid City's police chief, met with a group of protesters soon after Tuesday's verdict was announced. I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
Karen Eagle is one of the supporters of children and families from Pine Ridge. She says historically race relations have been an issue in the Rapid City area, but says children were not involved and says this ruling sets a dangerous precedent for Native people.
My son is 16 years old and he's a high school student here. He addressed the mayor, told him, "I'm scared. My concern is that this is a call for open season on Native American youth." That has been something that's been echoed over the past nearly 5 weeks that we've been waiting for the verdict.
Many people are hurt and disappointed about the outcome of the trial, but Eagle says it's not over.
The biggest message that we want to push out there is that these parents, these families, and they haven't given up. And I think that that right there is going to turn the tides on this whole entire issue.
Eagle says the Native community is looking for accountability from those involved in the incident, as well as from city leaders. Public meetings between the city and Native Americans are being planned. President Obama is continuing a trip to Alaska this week to address climate change. Obama has committed to take action to fight global warming. He's expected to make an announcement to help remote communities during a visit today in Kotzebue. His trip has included talking to Native leaders and hearing concerns such as how powerful storms are impacting communities and how seasonal changes are damaging homes and infrastructure. The Navajo Nation is requesting aid from the Federal Emergency Management Agency for the tribe to recover from the August Gold King Mine waste spill. The tribe is asking for a coordinator to help with long and short-term support. The Navajo Nation says the toxic chemical spill has already impacted land, water, crops, livestock, and the economy. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
KNBA and Recover Alaska are seeking inspiring stories of recovery from alcohol addiction. If you or someone you know would like to share a story of recovery as part of an upcoming online and on-air documentary video project, go to knba.org and click Tell Your Story.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Methamphetamine, or meth, is a stimulant made from hazardous chemicals. Since its invention over 100 years ago, meth has evolved into a dangerous street drug, which can be snorted, smoked, eaten, or injected. The TV show Breaking Bad told a fictional story of a high school science teacher who decided to make meth for profit. But beyond a wildly popular TV show, meth abuse is a serious problem in many of our communities. The long-term side effects of its use include mood problems and violence, and it can also impact a person's teeth and skin. According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA, meth use nationwide is down. But is that the case for Native America? What are you seeing in your own community? And what is the impact of meth and its use in our communities? Is meth a problem? Or maybe you've even seen a drop in meth use. What do you attribute to that? Our phone lines are open and the number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us today from Crow Agency, Montana, is Londa Simpson, and she is the program manager for the Crow Tribe Uniting Apsaluga Families Meth Prevention Project. And Londa is an enrolled Crow Tribal member. Welcome to the hour, Londa.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Londa, thank you for being with us today. We'd like to hear, you know, what you're seeing in your own community. What would you say is the situation with meth on the Crow Reservation, taking a look back even 10 years ago?
Well, I've been in my current position for the past 2.5 years now. And within these 2 years, we've definitely seen a rise once again in meth use. Especially like among young people. So it is definitely becoming a problem again compared to probably within like the last 10 years.
And Londa, you know, as we take a look at how things are evolving, you know, what about today? How do you think, a different view is being applied?
Well, right now, we definitely, like our tribe as a whole, like with our leadership and the different tribal like programs and stuff, we've taken note of that we know that there is, you know, like a rise in meth use and that there definitely is a problem. And I've seen like even within the past year or two, we've been like collaborating more and, you know, trying to like combat the problem by raising awareness and like working with the youth more, like in prevention activities.
And Londa, how effective would you say just getting the word out is in, you know, definitely preventing more deaths or even curbing how many people are using meth?
Right now, it's kind of soon to see, but I think just by raising like the awareness about like the dangers of meth use, I think that, you know, it is preventing like young people, you know, from even, you know, trying the substance. And, you know, we're also trying to raise more awareness about like different treatment options. And, you know, that what we're seeing right now, I think that is like giving people that are, you know, like addicted to the substance, like hope and like more options, you know, like for treatment and to get help. And I believe, you know, it's showing them that, you know, that there are people out there that want to support them. So I think that it's having a positive effect on our community.
That is definitely great to hear. And if there are more folks working on, you know, this in your community and you want to tell us what kind of efforts are being done to help your community be safer and, of course, you know, bring down meth use, you can call in right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. It's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Londa, how many lives would you say are being affected in your community because of meth abuse?
You know, I think every single person is affected, you know, like in some way by meth use, just because we are such a close-knit community and, you know, like everybody is, you know, pretty much related to everybody somehow that, you know, like everybody is affected, you know, just because, like, you know, everybody probably has, like, family members, loved ones, friends, you know, that are on meth. And then even when, you know, that there's a death in the community, which is, like, death or which is meth-related, then everybody feels, like, the impact from that, you know, whether it's directly or indirectly. So I feel that all of us are affected somehow by meth.
And Londa, what are some examples of how people are affected?
Well, I know that there's been like some like incidences recently that crime, stuff like that, that have happened in our community. And even though it's like not in someone's like direct, like in their district, but it just, there's like fear now, you know, that you know, like that could happen. Be just like I said, everyone knows like somebody that has used meth. This past earlier spring, we had a person actually attack an elderly couple. She was high on meth, and you know, after that incident, then we kind of all felt like, you know, no one was really safe from that, because in our Crow culture, a big thing is respecting our elders. And so, you know, like with a person like attacking an elder, that just showed us that really nobody is immune and no one, you know, is safe, you know, from the drug.
I can see how that can definitely shake up a community. Mm-hmm. And I'm also wondering, you know, how this affects family members, too. You can call in, share your story. Our phone lines are open. And if it feels better to call in anonymously, you can, too. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. How is meth affecting your tribal community? You can also send us a tweet. We're on Twitter. Our handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Londa, there was a big push to address meth use. The Montana Meth Project had a popular campaign that used photos of meth users over time to show the impact of meth use. Do you think those campaigns were effective in cutting down meth use?
I think that they were effective in like preventing people from trying meth, you know, for the first time. But I don't think that they were effective in, you know, like helping people get off the substance, like people that were already, you know, addicted to it. But I mean, that's something that in Montana, like still we see billboards everywhere. It's still like staff commercials and, you know, like they're pretty graphic. And I think, you know, like the young people, they're very aware of it. So I think that those campaigns, they were geared more towards like the young people, the younger population, and they were geared more towards prevention rather than, you know, like treatment. So I really feel that it did help raise awareness, and it, you know, did keep people from actually using the substance for the first time.
Right. Thanks for that, Londa. And maybe you've seen some of these ad campaigns too. You know, how effective do you think they are? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And Londa, when it comes to the family, and, you know, maybe there's great work being done in our communities, but people, you know, may not, you know, be feel comfortable of just, you know, coming straight out and saying that they have a meth addiction, especially if they're parents. What's being done to make sure that, you know, people understand there's help for you too?
Well, like I was talking about before, that our tribe, especially with our leaders and like the programs and stuff, we have been collaborating more to try to raise awareness. Earlier this year, our tribal leadership, they declared a war on meth. And along with that, we've had like many like activities in like each one of our districts in on our core reservation. And like during the activities, like when we have outreaches and stuff, we have like different like resources, like come in, set up like informational tables and booths, you know, like I had information about like treatment options, like getting help. And I think that, you know, like with our tribe, like I was saying, that we are so like close knit that it is hard. It would be hard, you know, to hide a meth addiction just because, you know, like it is so obvious, like especially with like the, like physically and, you know, like the way they act and stuff, that it'd be very hard. So I think that we're able to identify, you know, the people that are like on the substance. So like I said, that, and we do have, like I said, our programs are collaborating more, trying to provide, you know, like help for these people, these individuals that are on the substance, and especially the ones, you know, that want help and they want to, you know, get treatment for it.
All right. Thanks for that, Londa. We're going to continue learning about what the Crow Nation is doing to combat meth. If you have any questions for Londa, you can also call in. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Londa, we got a caller in Two Strikes, South Dakota. We're going to bring in Ned now. He is connecting to us today on KOYA Radio. Ned, thank you for your call.
Yes, ma'am. I'm listening to KLI. That's who... I never hardly listen to KOYA. It's on a reservation. But, you know, in Rosebud, the Sichangu Lakota Oyate with the great Sioux Nation, seven bands here. And I think everyone agrees, the Superintendent BIA and the Chief of Police and Tribal Council agrees that we have a big meth problem here in the great Sioux Nation. It's the cheapest drug and also the dangerous drug. And I'm trying to do everything I can to address this with our tribal council, but I'm not making a headway at all.
And Ned, let me ask you this, you know, tell us, you know, how it is affecting the community. You know, what are you seeing meth do to people?
Well, you know what? It's right next door neighbor and my nephew. I'm not going to mention his name because everybody knows he was a past leader. And when he went for re-election, he only got 5 votes. And I think he got depressed. He's a veteran, Iraq Desert Storm veteran. Now he's only 47 years old, but he looks 72, fallen hair, always licking his lips.
And you know what? Those are common characteristics, you know, that I've heard a lot of times, that it seems to age a person. And Ned, I hear your concern for, you know, even this being somebody you're related to. Ned, by taking the road and bringing our tribal leaders into this discussion of doing something about a meth problem, you know, what are your hopes that tribal leaders will do to, you know, make sure that our communities are healthy or even safe?
Yeah. You know, I really want to thank Howard Fraser, the chairman of Cheyenne River, and the council. They passed a resolution that if you're caught, if you're busted with drugs and caught with meth, they disenroll you and ban you from the reservation. Every tribal council should pass that resolution across Indian country to send a message. If you're going to disenroll my relatives, that's fine. You're saving my relatives. You get them off the reservation, get them treatment, find jobs elsewhere, because Rosebud is second poorest county. Pine Ridge is the first poorest county. And where they get the money, I don't know. Because they make it. It's so cheap to make meth. and I'm not educated enough to say that, but two poorest counties in this nation, United States, have a meth problem. And I don't know Cheyenne River, Sioux Tribe, how much where they're rated in the poorest county, maybe third. I'm not too sure, but that reflects back on our tribal council and our leadership. We just had an election, and I'm hoping for a brighter day.
All right, Ned, thank you for your call. And Londa, I want to turn that back to you. Ned brought up some great points, even, you know, how tribes are dealing with this. Some even taking it as far as to banish people or disenroll them, as well as, you know, just holding people accountable. What do you think about that approach, Londa?
Well, I mean, I think that, like what Ed was saying, that, you know, it sends a message to, like, the other people that it's not going to be tolerated. But you have to look at, you know, from the person's perspective, you know, it's somebody that, you know, does need help, does need treatment. So I'm just wondering, like, you know, if they do banish someone, are they helping them get into treatment? And, you know, like, any type of substance abuse, it's actually, you know, like a symptom of an underlying problem. So, you know, if we are just treating the symptom but not getting, you know, to the root of the problem, then really what, you know, good that does that do? And I know, like, a lot of it stems, you know, from, like, trauma. And, you know, like, Natives in particular, like, they face more traumatic events than non-Natives do in their lifetime. So, you know, like, I just think kicking somebody, like, off the reservation for meth use, they have families, you know, they have children. So what does that do to their families? What does that do to their children, you know, that are still on the reservation? Like, is that just going to, like, create more trauma for them and increase, you know, their likelihood of, you know, like, abusing substances in the future? So, you know, like, we always say, like, war on drugs, war on this, but I really feel, too, that, like, when we focus just on one substance, then, yeah, like, you know, that substance, the use might decrease, but then if we're not treating, like, the addict, if the addict's not getting help, they're just going to move to a different substance. And I know with, like, our law enforcement, too, they say that's usually the problem. Like, there is a war, like, on one particular drug. So, you know, like, that drug use or that particular drug, the use decreases, but then the person moves to a different drug. So then we have to have a war on that drug. So I feel like nothing is really going to happen until we get to the root of the problem.
All right. Thank you for that, Londa. Also, Ned, thank you for your call. And we understand that, you know, there are different opinions, different tribes and their approaches. You know, what kind of approach has your tribe taken to curb meth use in your community? What about just making sure that it isn't coming into your community? You can tell us about that, too. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go now to Lori in Rosebud, South Dakota. She's connecting to us today on KOIA. Lori, thank you for your call. And what would you like to tell Native America?
Well, good afternoon. It's an honor to be on your program. The Rosebud Sioux tribe had passed a resolution in March of 2014 declaring it a state of emergency. We have a great collaborative body that is working together to not only educate but also offer treatment, and we have a meth prosecutor who is looking at developing laws within our tribal system. We have a great team up at the police department, Ben Estes, our CI, Mark Coutel, our captain, and Marlon Eno, our chief administrator, who have been very supportive of taking information and following up with information that has been reported. We also have a meth treatment facility here, the only one in Indian Country. It's a nine-month program, and it's free to Native Americans, and they have a wonderful staff up there. Marta Sita Eagle Bear is the director. Kathy Williams is the clinical supervisor, and Dr. Foster also works with them to help our Native American people through a nine-month treatment cycle, and they also offer aftercare.
And Lori, it's great to hear that, you know, your community is taking this approach. You know, I'm also curious, you know, what was happening that made the tribe call for a state of emergency?
There were reports that there were a huge population that was doing the meth We have a lot of community members. This grant was awarded to the tribe back in 2009, and we started working within it in 2013. We are developing, you know, the policies. We worked with IHS to develop a policy when a mother tests positive. We look at resources to help our people, the users getting into treatment, but also working with White Buffalo Calf, working with Defending Childhood Initiative, Tiwahi Glunipi. They use the horse or equine therapy to help their clients.
And Lori, are there any contact numbers you'd like to put out for maybe if there are community members who are, you know, hearing more about this and they want to get involved or just reach out to you? Where is the best place to connect with you?
I created a suspicious activity report that I hand out during our presentations into the communities, programs, and schools. If you want to report any suspicious activity, you can call me at 747-2900, and I'll take the report. Or you can call 747-2281 and ask to speak with Ben Estes, or 747-2266 and ask to speak with Mark Coutel or Marlon Eno.
All right. Thank you for that, Lori. And thank you for letting us know what is going on in your community. Thank you for your call. And what about in your own tribe? You know, has your tribe also done similar moves by declaring a state of emergency because of meth use? Call us right now. Share your thoughts. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Londa, simply, how important is it that people know, you know, something is going on in their community or that there are people they can reach out to?
I think that's, you know, really vital because a lot of times, you know, like the people that need to help the most, they're the ones that don't really have the access, you know, to like the resources in the community. So it's very important that we reach out to them, let them know that there is help available, because usually, you know, they're the people that probably don't have like health insurance. They don't have, you know, like the access, you know, to like the health care. So I think that, you know, it is vital that they know that their situation is not hopeless. So it's very important.
All right. Thank you for that, Londa. We're about to go to break here. With us today from Crow Agency Montana is Londa Simpson, and she is a program manager for the Crow Tribe Uniting Absaluga Families Meth Prevention Project. She is also a Crow Tribal member, and you can also join our conversation today by calling 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I also just want to give out another number, too. The National Drug Addiction Hotline is 1-800-662-4557. In case you wanted to reach out and had more questions for some of the professionals who are helping people with drug addictions. We will be right back after we let you know what is coming up tomorrow here on our electronic talking circle. But again, we want to know, what is your community doing to combat meth, and how big of a problem is it? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848, or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Now, here is what's coming up tomorrow on our electronic talking circle. If you missed the 15th annual Native Cinema Showcase this year, we've got you covered. On the next hour of Native America Calling, we'll put the spotlight on Native filmmakers who shared their work this year. And we'll dig into their brains to find out more about their creative process and filming in Native America. We hope you can join us. Thank you.
Support for this program provided by the University of Tulsa College of Law, offering a 100% online master's degree program in Indian law. This degree can move your career forward and help you work effectively in Indian country. Deadline for spring application is December 1st. Info at masterinlaw.utulsa.edu/NAC.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and thank you for joining us today. Each weekday, we bring you topics that we hope are relevant and important to Native America and beyond. And our show is also available as a podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podcruncher. You can also visit our website, nativeamericacalling.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can also leave comments about show topics, too. And you can also listen to past shows when you're there in our archive. And our discussion today is about meth in Native America. According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, in 2004, American Indians, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians had the highest rates of meth use. So we're asking today, you know, how have those numbers changed? Have they, gone down? Do you feel that things are getting worse? What are you seeing in your community today when it comes to meth use? You can give us a call. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Also, you can share your thoughts on what you think is needed to address meth use in your community and what about nationwide too. Our number is also 1-800-99-NATIVE, and that's also our Twitter handle. Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. With us today from Crow Agency Montana is Londa Simpson, and she's the program manager for the Crow Tribe Uniting Apsaluga Families Meth Prevention Project. She's also a tribal member of the Crow Nation. I'd like to go ahead and welcome her back, and let's go ahead and take another call. We have Ernest on the line in Round Valley, California. He's connecting to us today on KYBU. Ernest, thank you for your call. And what would you like to share?
I've been listening to all these other people talking in a lot of out-of-state reservations. But I don't hear nobody from California talking about what's going on in reservations here, you know?
And Ernest, you know, let's get talking. You know, how has meth affected your community?
How has meth affected my community? Affected a lot, you know? I mean, people ain't working. There ain't no jobs being given out because, you know, a lot of people are high or whatever, you know, give them, you know, councils, other programs don't give them jobs and stuff, but they do nothing to help them either. You know what I mean?
Sure. And, you know, as we heard in the last half, you know, just having a place where you can reach out to, you know, kind of makes a difference. Londa, do you have any words for our caller, Ernest, about, you know, not even hearing anyone talking about it in his circle?
You know what, like, this is like one thing too that we really encourage, like, the community members in on the Crow Reservation. But, you know, if you don't, like, see anything going on, you don't, you know, like, see anything being done about the problem in your community, you know, you can be proactive and you can, like, you know, start something. Like, you don't have to be part of, like, a program or a department, you know, like, to get something going, but just being a concerned, you know, community member, you can get, like, maybe support groups going, like, even, like, becoming, like, a mentor or something to, like, somebody in your community that you know that is being affected by meth. I mean, that will make a big difference and also, like, start a chain reaction. You know, it only takes one person, you know, to make a change, or, you know, just one person to, like, just start, you know, like a campaign, something within your community. So if you don't see anything being done, then you can be the person, you know, that you know, gets something going.
All right. Thank you for that. Ernest, thank you for your call there in Round Valley. I want to go ahead and introduce a couple of more voices to the hour. On the line from Omaha, Nebraska is Neil Manuel, and he's the program manager for the Soaring Over Meth and Suicide Program. He's an enrolled member of the Kashaya Band of Pomo Indians. Welcome to the hour, Neil.
Thank you, Tara. There was a couple of things I wanted to kind of talk about. I overheard the gentleman earlier talking about banning tribal members whenever they're either convicted or however the process is that they find out that they're using meth. I discussed this with other people about that. And some of the things is that they thought that it might be a good process, but at the same time, it doesn't really cut it at the root of the source of everything when it's dealing with meth being brought to the reservations. Because one of the problems that I think I would see is if we did do that, then it just allows for someone else to kind of come in and fill that person's shoes, I guess, in a manner of speaking. And so then it's just like we need to kind of, cut it off at the root, because when you cut somebody off from the tribe, you're just kind of cutting off a branch. And so and that's just kind of how I see it. And the reason why I say is one of the thoughts was that if you are going to disband or, disenroll a tribal member for these issues, maybe consider doing a suspension or something, in that the only way that they can actually be re-enrolled is to go through a treatment process. One of the things that we offer here at our coalition here at Nebraska Urban Indian Health Coalition is that when they're done with their treatment process, we have a transitional housing that we move them into. And then through that process, they still undergo their treatment, but at the same time, they're allowed to find jobs and to find some means of elevating their health status. And so we get them plugged into schools. Some of them have gone back to college, they get plugged into other resources that will help them with their treatment process. The things that sparked my interest, I guess, because I was talking to one of my Native sisters, and she's from South Dakota, and on her reservation Eagle Butte, I think that's right, but she said that they have the same law there for their tribal members. And so I thought that it was unique because it was the first time that I ever heard that. So maybe that might not be the case, but because at our treatment facility, they have to be enrolled tribal members. They have to have proof that they are from a federally recognized tribe. So if we disband them and if we take them off the roll, then how are we going to get them into treatment? So that was kind of my question on that.
Neil, there is a lot to consider, when tribes are taking this action. And it's also interesting, your take, too, of, what about re-enrolling after someone has gone to treatment? If anybody else would like to comment on that, you can call in, too. Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. We are taking a look at the way tribes, communities, and, even individuals are doing something in their community to make sure more lives are not being affected by meth. You can share what's going on in your area, too, by calling in 1-800-996-2848. And Neil, I know meth has impacted your life personally. Anything you'd like to share about lessons you've also learned about how meth can take control, but, how you truly can overcome it?
Just wanted to say that when I was a teenager growing up, it was first introduced to me around 19 or 20 is when I first encountered the drug, and it was through high school students, and I went to a public high school on the coast, and so I got mixed up in methamphetamine, and so I used it for a moment, and I saw how it affected not only myself but the people that I cared about. It affected my mom, my brothers, my sisters, even my friends. And I saw them using, and I've lost some friends to overdose. through murder, through just being incarcerated, and different things like that. And so I saw what it was doing, and I wanted to make a change, and I couldn't do it on my own because I tried. I tried doing it. I tried using all kinds of different things, methods and programs, and it really didn't help me the way I needed help. And so for me, it was like I kept going back to it. But it wasn't until for me, my personal experience with my faith that has helped me. And through that, I'd be able to develop protective factors and also to create for me, I guess, a support system. And so I'm able to call people and talk with them. And, you know, if, in fact, that I'm starting to feel, you know, kind of down about something, and then I have a support group. And so I'm able to Facebook them. I'm able to call them, text them at any given moment. And so that's the one way that I have been able to overcome it. And so and that was in, I guess, looking at 21 years ago. And so from that time on, I remember that I tried to move out of town. I tried to move to another state. I actually moved to Montana, and I lived there on the Flathead Reservation for about 5 years. And so that first year, that first day that I got there, I walked into a store because I was thirsty and went to go get something to drink. And somebody approached me at one of the coolers and asked me if I knew anybody who wanted to buy meth. And I was just like, I looked at the guy like, are you serious? I just moved away from California to get away from this stuff. And I got to this reservation, and then there it was right in front of my face. And
sure. You know, more affirmation of how, you know, how broad, you know, meth is in affecting different communities. And Neil, I want to applaud you on being with us here today on our program, and also applaud your sobriety and talking about it. Sometimes, you know, it takes, you know, individuals to tell their story to really bring home how, you know, addiction can face one person. And when we start thinking about how it reaches out to our community, you know, it brings a lot of things to mind. And that's why we wanted to have our conversation today. You know, when you think about drug use, especially what we're focusing in on today, meth, you know, how does it disrupt a community? What about when you are a community that is close to your traditions or is striving to, you know, keep those traditions alive? Has meth taken its toll on, you know, that part of your community? You can call in. Our phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can also send us a tweet to at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's take a call. We got Jim on the line. He is in Santee, Nebraska, and it's our pleasure to bring him to the hour. Hello, Jim. What are your thoughts today?
Well, hello. I'm listening to all the other speakers, and everybody has good ideas. Has some really, really good ideas. I live down here in Santee. We're a really small reservation, but we have our problems. We have this mess, and we have our. It's not good. You see it every day. You know, we have high turnover in our employment, and our people lose their housing because of it. Yeah, I have some ideas on this, and I like the idea of that banishment, but that banishment should only be for the dealers, because the people themselves are suffering the effects of this. It's just like alcoholism. You know, alcoholism, we have no control over it. It's a disease, and just like this meth use, we don't have the power to beat this. You know, we have to do a lot of things to try to beat this. But I have some good ideas, you know, because we have our radio down here. It's KZYK, and we do a lot of PSAs on the radio, a lot of PSAs, and we use that methproject.org, and they have some really good PSAs, and I really believe that I'm a firm believer in prevention, and I think we need to start working on prevention, you know, working with our younger people to hear these stories, doing presentations from former users, you know, and letting them tell their stories. You know, there's people that are dying from the diseases, you know, from using needles and stuff like that.
And Jim, I think it's exciting to hear, you know, that you're also using media to get the word out. And, you know, I'm interested to hear more about what's going on in your community. Please do keep in contact with us. And if there are any organizations out there, folks who are taking on meth in their community and you want to tell us about programs that you have, you can send us an email. You can send it to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Jim, I do wish you well there in Nebraska and the work that you're doing. And of course, hello to KZYK as well. I want to go ahead and bring one more voice. We've got Jason Adams on the line. He's in Pablo, Montana. He's the executive director for the Salish and Kootenai Housing Authority, and he is a member of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes. Welcome to the hour today, Jason.
Thank you, Tara. It's been a good discussion. I've heard a lot of good discussion on the issue, and the perspective that we bring to the discussion here is the effect of meth once there's use in a home. That's kind of what the perspective we're dealing with this from. There is a lot of going on within our tribe here, and hearing from the other speakers in regards to efforts to help people get off meth. Here locally, our tribe has brought a lot of educational opportunities to departments and to the general membership of the tribe, bringing in people that are former users. And I'd also like to congratulate Neil on his sobriety and overcoming this addiction. I've seen a lot of it. Somebody had earlier mentioned it affects everybody. It does affect everybody. There's nobody within the tribe or within the community that is untouched by this in some way or form or fashion. And so from that perspective, I think it's good that we, you know, educate ourselves and educate those around us so that we know what this really is.
And Jason, I wanted to get your thoughts, you know, being a part of the housing authority there. A lot of times when we say, how is meth affecting our communities, it's actually affecting, you know, the structures that we're living in and, you know, where families are as well. Give us a view into that about, you know, how meth is having an impact on housing in our Native nations.
Well, what happens is from the use of meth, there is contamination that's left over. Early on, I think when we first started encountering this issue, people used to have meth labs. And for the most part, at least on our reservation, those efforts have kind of gone by the wayside. Somebody mentioned earlier how cheap the drug is, and that's what we see here, not a lot of production anymore. And so what you see is the use and the use mainly by smoking in a facility in a home leaves a residue in the home that is it's contamination. The chemicals that's used in making this drug are terrible on their own, but when you start mixing this stuff together, the chemicals that are left in a unit requires professional remediation, and that's what we've had to deal with. And we're not alone. I mean, we talk with a lot of other housing programs and tribes across the country, and we're all dealing with this issue of, you know, now that we have this contamination, what do we do with it? And it's a big problem.
And Jason, what are we looking at when it comes to costs and cleaning up things? You know, what kind of toll does that take on our tribes?
Well, there's a lot to that discussion in regards to, you know, at least in our case, the state of Montana didn't have any authority over us, being a sovereign nation, so we had to come up with our own standards and then determine, you know, what levels of contamination are we going to act and start remediation efforts. And so that was the first step we took was developing policies and procedures on how we would deal with it. And then from that, then we go into the based on what the levels of contamination are, then how do you clean it up? And it can be in lower levels in homes. It can be washed off the walls. There's some chemicals out there that can be used that can wash. You can wash walls down. Any porous material has to come out of a home, such as wood and those type of things that are untreated. And then, you know, so then you have that level of contamination. And then on the higher end of the scale, when you have heavy use or even in some cases still production, even the sheetrock can be penetrated. And so you have to take the unit down to the wood studs. And that's the worst case scenario. But in those cases, you're basically, you know, rebuilding the home. And we've had those cases here also. And we've been, spending a lot of money that would otherwise go towards renovating homes and making them available for our members for the long term are being utilized to, you know, keep the next tenant safe and get rid of this contamination.
Wow, there is definitely a lot involved. Thank you for sharing with us, Jason. I got one more call we're going to bring in. We have Robert in Durango, Colorado. He's connecting to us today on KSUT Radio. Robert, thank you for your call.
Thanks a lot for your time here. I believe this is an issue that all tribes and organizations should realize that, you know, drug use on the reservation is rampant just because we lack the, you know, the manpower. I believe the council is limiting officers' ability to do their job properly. Your last caller talked about issues with the mess. One of the things that we get a tour through our facility is if someone dumps meth products into the sewage system, that kills that sewage treatment plant and all the little bugs in it. So it's just, you know, we're talking housing, but then we're also talking to sewage treatment plants that handle these wastes. You know, they get knocked off, and that to rebuild all those bugs again is an effort. So, I hope tribal councils all over the place gives the police officers ability to do their job properly. You know,
all right.
Treatment as well.
Great statement, Robert. Thank you for your call there in Colorado. Let's go now to California. We're going to bring in Miranda in Round Valley, tuned in on KYBU. Miranda, thank you for your call.
Hi, and how are you today? I've been listening to your radio station, and I'm from Round Valley Reservation in Covelo, California. I was a meth user and a seller for 30 years, plus I've been clean for 15 years. And I fell one time because I needed money. And some of us do that, people that sell, because they need money. There's no jobs around here for a lot of us. We're one of the biggest reservations in California. We have a Yuki Trails. It's a counseling place. But there really isn't no kind of counseling for meth users here. I don't think the council and the housing authority has really addressed or got anything together to really address the meth use here. And it's we have so many sellers here and users here. We're like a little town, but we're a big reservation in a little town.
And you know, Miranda, you know, you're the second person who have also heard that, you know, the lack of opportunity or some of that support that people feel isn't there. And Neil, I'm sure Miranda does, you know, she's not alone out there when we consider our tribal nations and, you know, feeling that there is an opportunity to combat meth or even just, you know, get yourself up off the ground and get a good job. Neil, do you have any thoughts or words for our caller? Or people who feel, you know, there's not much hope.
Well, considering, you know, like she said, the employment rate, it's very low because of, you know, there's just not enough jobs there on the reservations. And I know that from my tribe, at one time, they tried to create employment for the members on my reservation. We have a very small reservation. It's, I think it's around 44.4 or 44.5 acres of land. And so they just create summer jobs where we can clean up the reservation, restore homes, and different things like that. And that's usually through the summer, and I don't know how long that lasted, but that was when I was a teenager growing up. And so it's really hard when you live in a remote area such as Round Valley or Kashaya, because we're out on the mountain. We're like a few hours away from civilization, so it's like hard to find jobs. And so it's really hard. And like she said, most people turn to whatever they can to make money. And so meth really didn't come to our reservation for a while. As I was growing up, it was mostly like marijuana and drinking.
And so meth came in like right around the time that I was out of high school. And so that's when I saw it take off. And then eventually people would sell it. They would share it. And so meth just kind of, I don't know what the status is today. It's been a while since I've been back to my reservation. Like I said, I've lived Montana, Arizona, Nebraska, and so these have been the places that I've moved to, and I've seen the same thing. It's employment is really low, so it causes them to try to reach out to different things, and meth is one of them. Like the gentleman said, it's easy to get a hold of. It's really cheap. It's easy to make. They could make it pretty much just anywhere, and so it's really hard, especially like when there's not a lot to offer on the reservations. The only way I was more fortunate was because I was able to move off of the reservation, get the help that I needed, and then take it from there. And I don't want to tell everyone, move off the res. And that's the only solution. But maybe our tribal council needs to take a look at our economic development and see if there's any way that we can create jobs for them, even if it's developing a system where they can pull off of the reservation to places where they can find employment. And so,
sure, you know, there's lots of options, you know, to consider and put on the table. And, you know, we just breezed over an hour, you know, just trying to get a focus of how meth is affecting our communities. We've heard a lot of great things in today's program, you know, even talking about treatment being a part of the solution, you know, actions we can take in our own tribal councils. And there is a lot more to talk about. If you have something you'd like to share with us about how meth is affecting your tribal community or things people are doing to overcome the obstacles that it's brought to your tribe, you can talk to us and tell us about it. Comments at NativeAmericaCalling.com. I'm Tara Gatewood. We'll be back tomorrow.
This program supported by the Peace Corps, the government agency sending thousands of volunteers to live and work alongside people in more than 60 countries worldwide. The Peace Corps will allow you to share your unique cultural heritage and promote world peace and friendship. We have rewarding work opportunities around the world in education, health, agriculture, environment, and business. It will change your life and the lives of others. More information available at peacecorps.gov. That's peacecorps.gov. Support from the nonprofit Herd Museum, presenting a master artist basketry workshop at the Inn of the Mountain Gods in Mescalero, New Mexico, September 17th to 19th. American Indian basketry artists seeking to be mentored by master-level Mescalero artists Matthew and Andrea Suma are invited to apply by September 11th. The workshop is free to accepted applicants. Food, lodging, and travel stipends are provided. Details at herd.org/event.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.